Hi everyone, you are listening to the Accents podcast on WUKY. I am Katerina Stoikova, the host, and with me today is poet, editor, actor, and translator Mani Grimaldi. Hi Mani, welcome to Accents.
Hi Katerina, thank you for having me.
So, you are the author of three books, most recently, Finding a Word to Describe You. Tell us about the story of this book.
Basically, this book is a chronicle of the first few months of a romance that has eventually turned into a friendship. It is a book of love, passion, and it looks at it from many angles, from jealousy to the passion to appreciation, friendship, admiration. Basically, it's the kind of thing when you put somebody on a pedestal for the first little while of a relationship. And that's what I'm trying to tease out with the poems.
Was in any way the writing of these poems helpful in turning the romance into a friendship?
Yes. She loves the poems, this friend. It taught me about how to relate to people in a proper way. I'm not always successful at it. She herself is a writer, and we cultivated a writing relationship together. I know one thing, she admires the book very much, and the relationship has developed, and like I said, into more of a practical relationship as of late. And I wrote it very much concomitant with everything that was happening. When something happened, I wrote a poem.
I would love to hear a couple of poems.
I have one that I really like called St. Augustine Is in Hell. When I told my father about that title, he made a funny face. I said, no, no, no. St. Augustine before he became St. Augustine. So St. Augustine is in hell. It's not a question of wanting to be your lover. I already am. Take off your clean shirt ironed by me. The instructions are simple. Nothing less than a bullet to the head. The angry warthogs that ramble to eat me each night in the dreams of my pen. Take out, you're happy. I am not tired today. Deposit rivers and lakes where my songs rise to sing. I will take shears and make blankets to drench in the folds of your perfume. We will come here to remember. We'll never wash by modern means, only the way an orchestra follows a tune with the pitch and thrust of a moving, graceful woman or man, or by the shameless smiles of two chimpanzees ordering fish at market price, or when Neil Armstrong realizes he leaves the lunar landing module without a thought of his wife. Abandon the forest of ourselves. Evening, I open the door to your kitchen where you sit embarrassed to let me look, much less let me fry you fish at market price. But our clothes hang from the rafters and ceiling fans. You, round and broken as summer heat you are, I fell for the heart of the woman in your mind's eye, watching herself, watch me, watch her. I don't know if you cared or even knew. Every last atom of her, you, whom I write to most often, but not allowed to see.
Amazing reading, Manny. Where did you learn to read poems like that?
Patrick Kagan Moore and Tony Haig at Center College, and Robert Parks Johnson in Lexington when I was doing summer Shakespeare.
How cool. Well, read us another poem.
This one is an ekphrastic poem based on the painting Hope by George Frederick Watts. It's called Where Judas Contemplates a Painting. I stared into the sun for 5 minutes because they said no. Since then, I've had problems believing. Hope Was something wilder than streets, horses, and cut purses. I feel humble and naked, the colors muted and bold, faded, radiant, and lacking glamour. Nerves nonetheless entirely uneasy. The unknowingness of hope, of life. I, today, a writhing, disconsolate being, so hungered and pained to play her music, with not even two strings there, no, not two, on the lyre, an intrusive thought of failure where she sits on the cold mud. This is what I think about her. This is what I think about us. Thinking, I get my hopes up. Every time I think a child is floating in the deep. Every time my sister looks tired after work. Every time my beloved writes to me, my hope is wrought so it burns. My skin makes reply. There are too many sunburns in my retina to fly, to give up on hope. For the strokes of my oil and brassiere, they are a mirror. I can't have what I want. To forget myself before the altar, to forget you. Because when I donate coffers to the poor, it burns. My God, it does. Think what my life would have been had I believed of a hope as the painter did.
What
I
is
don't know what
one
to
word to describe you, Manny?
Mercurial.
Why?
Because I'm impulsive. Go with my gut. I don't go with my thoughts. I go with my feelings. I have a temper. My mind races like Mercury does to deliver messages, and I played Mercutio in Romeo and Juliet once, and when I started playing the character, the director said, "Don't be a grenade on stage, be a laser beam." He had to focus me.
I love that. Don't be a grenade on stage, be a laser beam. And what is one word that your friends would use to describe you?
My honest friends have a word that I can't say on the air. What would they say? Passionate. I mean, most of my friends would say I'm passionate. That's the nicest way of putting
Please read us another poem.
it. Okay. I want to read a good one. Mathematics of distraction. Speak to my heart instead. I sleep. While here at home, you sang 2 + 2 = 5 tonight. We spoke nothing, did nothing but one claptrap language, ringing words unachieved, like respect without a center. Peel and cry me a glass onion. Doll boy, you want me back. This love chews a person up. It will tear down the world and leave us wrestling inside of two quatrains, two tercets, and a knife.
I love it. What a sense of danger. You think that love is dangerous?
Very risky. You risk a lot. You risk your ego. You sacrifice your ego to love somebody. And also, if you've been making mistakes, somebody's going to point them out. And that's another thing. It's hard to believe yourself sometimes, whether you've been sincere or not. You go through doubt. I mean, I'm speaking of, no, I don't want to use the pronoun you. I need to use my own pronoun. I go through doubt sometimes as to whether I'm being a genuine good person in a relationship. And criticism is a thing that I don't deal with very well. And I'm better at giving it than receiving it. And when you love somebody, I think it's an action moreover than anything. It's not a feeling. I read a lot about feelings in this book. I was struggling to find the action. And I think it's an ever, it's like polishing a mirror, really. There's always going to be dust on it.
Or you say that you seek solitude, but you find yourself a terrible company.
Yes. I have trouble being around people. Like I go to an event, I'll stay for 20 minutes. I go, but you gotta go see you later. Bye bye. Gotta go take care of something. walked up to a friend this past weekend at an event, and I said to them, I said, I gotta go. Why? Self-care. And they were like, oh, I get it. You know, yeah, that kind of thing. You know, but then when I get home, I don't like it. Sitting still is very difficult.
I would love to hear one more poem from finding a word to describe you, then I'm gonna move on to other books.
Okay. I was reading a lot of Ray Armantrout, and she inspired me. She has those two-part poems sometimes, and I really like them. This one's called Grasp. She slipped an extra ice chip in her tea and stirred it quickly, as if making a point. According to physics, the faster you go, the less accuracy you have. The tea wept down the sides of the china, and she smiled. Either way, she was going to have this brew, whether on the tea service or in her belly. What could I hold on to? She kept smiling and pinched me under the table playfully.
I'm very excited about your book, Manny. What has been the reception so far?
That it's playful, that it's good literature. People say it's good literature, and that's very flattering to me. Some people say that it's a good story, and to me, that's also very flattering because I wanted a story to be in the book, some kind of narrative that it wasn't just a haphazard pastiche of poems. People admire its craft, and people have said that they have trouble believing that so much happened inside of you. You know, so obviously it makes an impression on readers, you know, that something happened, something active happened.
Tell us about your chapbook, your satirical chapbook. It's quite interesting in terms of form and idea and execution. I hope you read us a poem or two from it.
The poet Linda Bryan Davis introduced me to Philip Levine, Simple Truth. And Levine writes in columns practically. He doesn't write across the page. He doesn't, in this book, he doesn't break them into stanzas. It's just one ramble going down, but it's very clear with the punctuation what's going on. I was inspired by that form. And the chapbook's called Ex Libris Johannes Cerva. And my Latin's terrible, but the best research I had told me that it was from the library of John Doe. I released it anonymously. On the cover, it says "Anonymous Scriptus" from an anonymous writer. The only thing that indicates that I'm the writer is that it's copyrighted to me. I decided to play with ideas that were impossible, impossible ideas to create the satire. Like on the impossible occasion when William Shakespeare went skinny dipping with young Ernest Hemingway in 1937 revolutionary Spain. I played with Leonard Cohen and Federico Garcia Lorca. And what you see here is strange things like an aged man meeting with a young man, but the young man should be way past the age of the old man when he was young. So I'm playing with time and just ridiculous ideas. And then finally, I have Tonka between Rocky Balboa and Jane Austen. And then my final is David Bowie on planet Mars invading the space of Donald Trump, who's been abandoned by a Space Force mission.
How did you decide on some of these pairings?
I asked people, what would you like to read?
So it's kind of like an assignment. You took assignments. Awesome. Awesome. Well, read us a couple of poems, please.
On the impossible occasion of old Leonard Cohen meeting young Federico Garcia Lorca for tea in a Buddhist monastery in the Catskills, 1929. I wash with scrub in a silence so luxurious, so still, it is rhapsodic, almost lewd to my liking. You think I'm kidding, do you not, young man? Everything for you is ensconced on a throne of deep and great danger. Federico, your namesake is the screen, planted green, green, so heaven-climbing, green, where walls to earth and eaves do meet, where blood spills by moon and civil hands cry of gypsies at their shining leather feet. My boy, I am peace between pebbles thrown into water. I have women or men for you if you want them. My kitchen serves bread, aromatic, soft, and whole to ease you after your journey to our America. And today I wonder, child, at spirits, what devil or which talent as forest fire burns the soul of your pen. Rent poor of metaphor, drained of simile, in verdant Granada today. What of New York? Has my Andalusian puppy come to chide? Dear, we sing secret chords into each other. We please the muse and cease our civil war, stamp heels together, splintering the cedars from the naves to the tops, to the slow red stops of the solea, and make the weave of your pouting black locks wet with fixative to slide, words smearing unintelligible on the page, a wildness asking, a pregnancy beg. Leonard, perhaps men can stop making sense of women. Perhaps life becomes less interesting, perhaps even boring. Leonard, I want to burn the ark of heaven, dressed in pesetas and prayers. Give me agency and excess. Give me your disease and prowess. I want to touch this sexless mystery. Leonard, today I am the Germans who bled Guernica, Krakow's ovens blessing Poland. I will sit one day in the West, inside the bomb in New Mexico. I will light the sky with a luende, the grace and violence of all the poets, riding black horses on a plutonium core without a door, the sweet life dancing inside an eye with no walls, slightly smiling, with no walls broken widely open.
Remarkable. So I want one more, and I am torn between the Rocky one or the Trump one.
I can't do David Bowie. Let me do The Impossible Marriage of Celluloid and Paper. Rocky Balboa and Jane Austen write Tonka on the subject of love and fidelity.
Awesome.
Brute force southpaw takes no true woman by the hand, nor will win the day, for it is a truth well known. Ladies need little such play. Ew. I'll let you know, I see like a beagle, see? You're the best in town, and ever since I've seen you, it's been great, absolutely. What tricks and cold schemes are these you present to me? Have you not a wife? Is she not your everything? You are her only love, yes? You want to go skating on the ice in town? It's the best time, you know? Oh, I won't let you fall down. Get a cheesesteak, lots of fun. You deflect, sir. Stop. See the Lady Adrian, her name parts the clouds. For shame at your age, be tamed. What fools you make of maids. I feel like a bum. We're in a fight, she's tired and told me to quit. Mixing with boxers, training, and take my shots here at home. Is it a crime, sir? Told duties of estate with beast, child, and wife? She received those blows with you. Those you took, oh, sore battle. Jesus, oh God, Nick said I was a tomato, past my prime and blind. She was right, too. She always was so good to me, oh God. Self-pity fighter, release it like a fire. She stands with you now, believed in all things, chose hell with you, and would die, I fear. Well, I suppose, Jane, if I don't get up, take hits. Read her book of love. You say I'm big time stupid. I don't have to be this way. This gentle accord sits smiling in my pen's verse. Rocky Balboa, you've well slipped a monster jab. Now stand, moving forward on. Those were Tonka.
I love it. Thank you so much. Tell us something about your first book, Riding Shotgun with the Mothman.
That was a labor of love too. That explores family issues that I've experienced, and frankly, my struggles with substance abuse in the past. and when I was married. And it doesn't really present much of a solution to these problems. It presents the problems. But there's an awareness underneath the poems that the writer is aware of a solution. The poems don't present a solution, if you know what I mean. It's kind of, you can sense it. You can sense that there's an awareness in the book. And the whole idea behind the title was that when you're trying to run life, and life is, to my estimation, fate itself is neither, it's very impartial. It's about as scary as anything that can come up and bite you. And if you're in the car with something that's really the driver and you're telling it what to do, you're going to run into more problems than if you just sit still and let and enjoy the ride and let things take you where they're going to take you. It's not an advocate. I don't advocate not acting in your life and not doing things in your life, but definitely working with life is the action.
Please read us one poem from that book.
One poem, sure thing. This one's about my son. Russian dolls. Your thoughtful quiet locked within six Matryoshka dolls. Your curiosity creeps sweetly out with a speech unable of your surface like stone blown smooth against Siberian shores. Your warm hunger kept by waiting, table to be set. My son, you drew eyeballs in every corner and wall of your bedroom at the age of three. And he laughed, asking why. My beautiful son, you said, I'm scared at night, and they helped fall asleep. So was it all right? Sure, it was all right. One August 9th, I was asked to leave, thinking it would be all right. All right. And we didn't hug and kiss until next winter. The first shell had fallen tight. I saw it in your painted eyes.
How beautiful. Thank you very much. I happen to know that your full name is Manuel Jesus Grimaldi. Tell us about the origin of the name and a little bit about your ancestors.
Manuel is a Spanish form of Emmanuel, which is a Hebrew word, which means God is with us. Like rooting for us, you know? And Jesus is a variant of Yeshua. It's not the same word, actually, because it's the same word as Joshua in Hebrew, I believe. It means God saves, gets you out of rough, gets you out of trouble. It's a caregiving name. Grimaldi is a German name originally. It's Italian now. It's Grimaldo. It means hard helmet, hard head.
So there is a lot of protection actually in your name.
I never realized that till
Don't you think that you've had protection in your life?
I should be dead. Many
Basically,
times over,
yeah.
lots of accidents, lots of things falling out of trees. Got attacked by skinheads when I was 18 years old, and something stopped them. And they all had knives. And I think maybe also it's a call to try to be protective and try to care.
I think there is truth to that. You're protective of the people you care about. I've seen that over and over. Based on my personal history, I came up with this sentence: home is where people can pronounce your name correctly. Do you agree?
Yes, but people get my name wrong all the time in the United States. And I do consider so much home, but when people say my name correctly in the United States, I know that I'm in the presence of someone who I call home. Yes. Yes.
I don't know why I'm asking this question, but here it is. Have you ever thought of moving to live abroad for a while?
I thought of going to Puerto de Santa Maria, which is about 12 kilometers, 20 kilometers outside of Jerez de la Frontera, which is Jerez is where they make sherry, flamenco capital of the world. But Puerto de Santa Maria is where some of my relatives have moved, the older ones, and it's where Rafael Alberti was born and died. And there's something really attractive about living in that little port town and living on the beach in a condo for a little while and writing. That's what I really want to do, but I've
Well,
thought about it.
That's what I thought would be the reason that you would go abroad. Because, each once in a while, I'm thinking that unless I get out a Dodge, I won't be able to write anything. That's not true for you. However, you write all the time and you juggle several projects at all times.
Currently in a dry spell.
Now, that's a first. I've known you for a few years and you're in a dry spell, which to me is very exciting, Manny. To me, that means that you probably will reemerge with different voice, with different themes, stronger and better than ever.
Love that. I have ideas. Yes, I do have ideas, but nothing's going to paper much.
Well, you write them down, right? The ideas.
I have a journal.
Great. You say that you feel under no obligation to be the same person you were 5 minutes ago. Say more.
Well, if I felt I was in an obligation, suppose I was being difficult and recalcitrant and mean. If I dug my heels in, I could destroy something very easily. But I'm starting to learn by virtue of having done that a couple of times that I didn't have to do that. And a good friend of mine who shares readership and editorialship with me tells me often, you can start your day anytime you want. Suppose you start your day
What
you
what's the oh you can start today anytime.
you can start your day over anytime you want.
I love
Just
it.
find the space to do it and go forward. It's a practice which I'm only starting, really, but I'm really starting to believe in my gut that there's no reason I should have ever done half the things I've ever done in my life, because I could have stopped and switched gears. And it's usually at the point that I'm pointing at someone and saying, "You did it," but guess what? Three fingers are pointing back at me. Right? And I always find that ironic.
Tell me about your children.
My babies. Well, I call them genius level in my bio all the time. My son loves to sit with his mother when she's working at home, and he pulls out books and he asks her questions. And as early as age seven, he was pulling out my old physics books because I was a big student of space physics and time and hyperdimensions. I love that stuff. And he was reading it, going, "Oh, this is so neat. Mommy, can you tell me more about this?" He's very inquisitive. He wants to be an engineer. My daughter is a lot like me. She's my button on my shirt, hold my shirt together, you know. That's what I call her, my button. And she's an artist. She plays piano, guitar, violin. I saw her play the third movement of Beethoven's Movement Sonata once, and I said, "How the hell did you figure that out? Do you have music?" "I don't read music, Dad." She is a visual artist, you know. And she paints with computers. She's really into computer painting and art. They both love computers, but my son mostly likes comedy. He loves to watch The Office with Steve Carell. Last time I saw my son, he's been mad at me for a while. There was a divorce, right? So, and he looked at me. He was like, he had a scowl on his face. I said, "That's beautiful. You look great. Did you get any sleep?" And he laughed. He went, and then later on, I said, "So what'd you have to do? How many hours did you get?" "3 hours to spend time with you so I could pretend to be in a good mood." He's very honest. He doesn't not hear words. But I ended up looking at him later saying, "You're the most beautiful boy I've ever seen in my whole entire life. You're just beautiful." He's got long, long brown hair. I look at him, he's just gorgeous. "Look what your mom did."
You live with a number of pets. How many,
Yes.
what kind, and what are their names?
Five parakeets. And their names are Scotty, Madeline, Prospero, Blancanieves, which is Spanish for Snow White, and Scrapper. And there's reasons for each of their names. Plus, I have two frogs. They're Amazonian tree frogs, Henry V and Agatha. And they each have their own habitat. I'm always taking care of them. I'm always humidifying their cage and giving them what they need and feeding them crickets. They can eat so many crickets, it's unreal. Henry has grown to be as big as the palm of my hand in less than about 3 months. And I also have a finch, and his name is Petey. And he's blonde and he's very tiny. He's the loudest animal in the whole house. The little one.
Our listeners will be able to recognize some of the parakeets and the finch. That's right. We cannot hear the frogs.
No, they don't talk unless people are gone.
So, Manny, what are you working on these days?
These days, I'm talking to a clown a whole lot. The clown's name is Sticky because Sticky always gets in situations. And they also have another name, Bubbles, when they're performing in front of children. And I used to be a clown a long time ago. I studied the Commedia dell'arte and I did that at center. And pursued it a little bit later. But what I'm doing is I'm sharing my clown experiences in conversation with Sticky, can't give away the real name, and Bubbles. And we talk a lot about like what motivates a clown. I'm interested in masks. I'm interested in the presentation of self in everyday life. I'm interested in what's behind the mask, why people hate clowns, especially. People say they're scared of clowns. People say I'm frightened. I don't like them. What is it about that? You know, and I'm also interested in Joe Grimaldi, who's loosely an ancestor of mine. He's the father of modern clowning. And I'm also have some interest in intergenerational trauma. And I'm writing a have written. It's actually thing is this is actually written. Thing is, all that remains is to actually play with it and tease out things, beef it up. Cut all my darlings, which means something that I think is the best thing since sliced bread, which is not going to work. And it was my first attempt at writing a novella. I'm mixing the ideas of memoir, like a historical memoir covering generations, but fictionalizing it because it's like taking my family history and putting it in a dice jar and going and throwing it on the table. That's what I'm doing with it. And I'm putting in magical realism. So, and the grit of American literature. It's kind of like reading something really that has the bite of Fight Club mixed with Gabriel García Márquez. Those were my influences. But I wasn't drawing on their subject matter or anything. I was drawing mostly on actual stuff that's happened in history. And it starts with the Spanish Civil War. It ends in America.
Amazing. That is very exciting to me, and I look forward to reading those projects, and hopefully we will see them in print in not too distant future. I appreciate you, Manny. Best of luck with the new book and with the new projects. Thank you for coming on Accents.
Thank you so much.